The unimaginable atrocities of September 11, 2001 brutally reminds us that evil remains a powerful and destructive force in the world. The terrorist attacks in New York and Washington prompted millions to ask, where is God? Biological weapons, the continued unrest in Arab nations, the assassination of an Israeli cabinet member. The question remains, where is God? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
If God, who made the world, is good, why has the world gone wrong? If he is loving and merciful, why does he allow such horrible events? If he made his entire creation good, why hasn't it stayed good? If he possesses absolute power and hates evil, why does God permit such evil things to happen? We often ask such questions when a child runs into a street and is struck down, when a speeding drunken driver takes the lives of an innocent family, or when someone falls victim to random violence. The stunning amount of destruction and loss of life in the World Trade Center and Pentagon has forced even greater attention on such questions. Kevin Epps pastors the United Church of God congregation in New York and has experienced the World Trade Center tragic story firsthand. We have Kevin on a telephone hookup from New York. Kevin, we appreciate you being with us on Good News Radio today. The week after the bombings, you had a special service with the members of your congregation. Can you share with us some of the emotions and suffering that you shared with those members?
Gary, thank you for this opportunity to share the experience of the New York City congregation with our Good News Radio audience. The church service following the tragedy at the World Trade Center, it was the most difficult Sabbath service we've ever had to prepare for. There's one word that summarizes the state of the New York City congregation at that time, and that word is shock. During this service, we heard an eyewitness report from a member who was working on the 37th floor when the first plane hit the building. And she remembers how some of the survivors had lost all of the hair on their heads and faces due to the intense heat from the fire. And she also recalls how a mysterious stranger assisted her to a safe place, and this gentleman even smiled occasionally while assuring her that everything would be okay. Another member, who was working on the 79th floor, which is very close to where the plane had hit, she was stumbling through debris in a dark room, and then she passed out when she discovered that she had been tripping over human body parts. And she's still trying to bounce back from the trauma from that event and still has other medical problems that she's dealing with, but she seems to be getting better. There were other members who witnessed this tragedy as well, but they could not bring themselves to discuss it at the time.
Now, as time goes on, what lessons do you feel that many New Yorkers have learned from the tragedy?
Right now, I can gather that there are two major lessons that the New York City congregation, as well as many New Yorkers in general, have learned from these from this tragedy. The first lesson ties in with the principle that Jesus Christ discussed in Matthew 24. Shocking events can come as a thief in the night, and therefore we should always be ready as possible, ready mentally as well as physically. The second lesson is that God is our ultimate refuge. Of course, bad things can happen to good people, and faith in God is not a guarantee to not having any problems or anything such as that. However, God is the only one who has the power to resurrect people, and therefore, our ultimate refuge is in Him.
That was Kevin Epps, pastor of the United Church of God congregation in New York. Most people with religious upbringings learned that the world came into existence by the creative act of a great and powerful divine being. But obviously, a great many things have gone wrong in the world since then. So we ask ourselves, where was God on September 11th, 2001? Why didn't He act to prevent such an evil act? Doesn't he exercise control over everything that occurs? Is God powerless to prevent evil? The answer to those questions is inherent in another question. Do we want God to totally control everything we do? Now think about this for a minute. Would you want someone else to take control of your life, to dictate everything you could or could not do, to determine everything you did in your every waking moment? Would you want that kind of domination over your life? Where would you draw the line on what you would want God not to allow in your life? Should God prevent anyone who drives too fast from speeding? Should he keep all of us from viewing television shows, movies, and video games that could influence some to lust or commit acts of depravity and violence? You know, these forms of entertainment often lead to the misuse of our God-given sexuality, designed to bring us happy marriages and wonderful children. Such misguided programs degrade the character of those who produce them and use them. Extramarital affairs often lead to the destruction of marriages and families. Many children from broken marriages grow up into hurt, angry, distrustful adults. Premarital sex often results in diseases, unwanted pregnancies, and the aborting of tiny, innocent human lives. When people break laws or do irresponsible things, they often hurt not only themselves, but innocent people. At what point should God take control of people to stop them from doing such things? So before we criticize what God allows, we would be wise to examine and answer these critical questions. Now understand that for God to prevent every tragedy, he would have to exercise absolute control over every action of every human being on the face of the earth. But if he did, we would be nothing more than automatons, robots incapable of making decisions on our own. We would be deprived of freedom to make personal choices. Nowhere in God's Word, the Bible, do we find evidence that he ever intended us to be mindless machines. On the contrary, the scriptures reveal that God created us with freedom of choice, or what we call free will. Now, we treasure this freedom so highly that much of the Western culture is based on passionately committing to protecting it. People regard free will as one of the foundational rights of society. Yet we tend to blame God when our collective freedom to make choices and live our own ways produces tragic consequences. We can find many answers to our perplexing questions by reviewing what happened in the Bible in the Garden of Eden, as recorded in Genesis. That's where humanity's problems began. Much that has happened in history can be traced back to that brief time our first human parents spent in that God-made paradise. Patterns of behavior began there that still affect men, women, and children everywhere, even to this day. God created Adam and Eve and then placed them in the Garden of Eden. There he began to teach them the way of life that would bring peace and blessings, the way of life he wanted them to pass on to their children. He commanded them to obey his instructions, yet he did not force them to obey him. It was their responsibility to choose whether they would trust him and rely on his judgment and teachings or not. Satan, seeing in humanity's freedom of choice an opportunity to deceive, offered them a life based solely on self-determination and independence from God. Adam and Eve exercised their free will. They foolishly accepted Satan's offer. Their choice dramatically changed their lives and set the course of history for all their posterity. How do we break that cycle? How do we stop the endless suffering? Well, in the next segment, we're going to talk with the author of an important booklet titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? So don't go away.
How do we make sense of suffering? How do we reconcile the reality of so much human suffering, anguish, and misery with the existence or fairness of a divine being who, according to the pages of the Bible, is all-loving and infinitely merciful? This quandary has plagued men and women for centuries. Theologians, thinkers, and philosophers have puzzled over it for years. We've recently put together what may be one of our most important booklets, Why Does God Allow Suffering? It addresses all these questions head-on, right from the pages of your Bible. This crucial booklet reveals the source of so much human suffering and lets you see from the Bible how and when all suffering will eventually cease. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio, the studio here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Today we're talking with Scott Ashley, contributor to Why Does God Allow Suffering, an editor of the Good News magazine. Scott joins us via telephone hookup from Denver, Colorado. Scott, children ask the question when a puppy dies, and as adults, we're still asking the same question when faced with cancer, crime, or war. Why does God allow suffering?
Gary, much of the question of suffering has to do with what you talked about earlier, and that's the choices that we make. God gives us freedom to make our own decisions. For instance, you mentioned crime. That's a matter of personal, individual choices that people make. War, that you also mentioned, is also largely the result of people's decisions, although on a much larger scale. Cancer, other debilitating diseases, many times those too are the result of our choices, from smoking, from alcohol and drug abuse, what we choose to eat, and so on. Freedom to decide for ourselves means we also have the freedom to make bad decisions that not only hurt ourselves, but often hurt other people as well.
Can we really determine what is the source of human suffering?
I would say that there are three primary sources for suffering. The first, as we discussed, is bad decisions that have painful consequences. That, as we know, goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. The second is closely related to that, and that is disobedience to God's laws. Over and over again in the Bible, God tells us that he gave mankind his laws that it might be well with you, as the scripture says, that we might live long and productive lives, and that we might be blessed in every way. But people either don't believe that or they're blissfully ignorant of those common sense laws. So they break God's laws and they pay a painful price for that. The third major source is a spiritual influence that also ties in with these two, and that is the existence of a very real being called Satan the devil.
Can we really explain all suffering?
We should point out that sometimes we suffer because of the bad decisions of other people. For example, someone who gets run down by a drunk driver wasn't necessarily at fault because of anything he did. He was simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. The Bible sometimes talks about people being subject to what it calls time and chance. But overall, because we live in a world that is permeated with all three of these things that I mentioned, the bad decisions, disobedience to God's laws, and the influence of Satan, it's often hard to draw a straight line from the effect, which is pain and suffering, back to the original cause. In most cases, though, suffering gets back to one or more of those root causes.
In the booklet that we're offering on today's program, Why Does God Allow Suffering?, there's an entire chapter on how good can come from suffering. Now, when a person is going through the death of a loved one or financial difficulties or an illness, that's a really difficult concept.
Well, Gary, it truly is, but the bottom line is that we aren't designed to be permanent. God designed us to live a limited lifespan after which our bodies would simply wear out and quit working. So it's important that we learn some serious lessons in this life, and that's what that chapter of the booklet discusses. So many of the great leaders of history, including those that are mentioned in the Bible, went through a lot of adversity in their lives. And oftentimes it takes that adversity to make us stronger, and in many cases actually strengthens our relationship with God.
Scott, why is it so hard for people to see Satan's influence on us?
Well, the most important thing is he doesn't want people to realize what he's really all about, which is the bottom line, lying and deception. So he tries to make things look good and fun and exciting. An example of this might be premarital or extramarital sex. The movies and television make it look fun and pleasurable and exciting, but they don't talk about the consequences. They don't talk about the million or more babies that are aborted in the United States each year. They don't talk about the broken homes, the divorces that result, or the millions of people who contract and suffer from venereal diseases. So Satan isn't going to present himself as he really is, nor is he going to present accurately the consequences of doing things his way.
A moment ago, you talked about Satan's role in human suffering. Just what is Satan's role in this human drama?
Well, that's a crucial question, Gary. The name Satan comes from a Hebrew word that means adversary or enemy. The Bible calls Satan the enemy of mankind. Jesus Christ referred to Satan as the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. And this is the kind of mindset that Satan has and the kind of attitude he tries to instill in people. We tend to think of Satan influencing people in terms of such absolutely evil people as Osama bin Laden or Charles Manson or Ted Bundy. But in fact, the scriptures tells us that Satan is the god of this world and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And those are some pretty sobering passages. We need to realize that Satan affects all of us, whether we realize it or not. And the primary way he does that is to influence us to sin, to cut ourselves off from God, and so to bring suffering on ourselves. And he's been very successful at that.
Did you know that the Bible reveals a time when there will come an end to human suffering? We'll be back to see what the scriptures say about the future right after these messages.
How do we make sense of suffering? How do we reconcile the reality of so much human suffering, anguish, and misery with the existence or fairness of a divine being who, according to the pages of the Bible, is all-loving and infinitely merciful? Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headline.
At the end of the last segment, we were talking about why God allows suffering with Scott Ashley, the editor of the Good News Magazine. Scott, does the Bible tell us if there's an end to all this suffering?
Yes, Gary, it does. That's a major part of the message of the Good News Magazine. The last few chapters of the book of Revelation describe how God will take care of Satan and eventually eliminate his influence over mankind. And it's only then that we will see an end to suffering. But another part of that good news is that each of us now, personally and individually, can stand up to and overcome Satan's influence and get our lives in accordance with God's laws that show us the way to eliminate so much suffering.
So there is hope for every one of us in our everyday lives and for all of mankind. Scott, thanks for being on the program with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
All choices produce results. Bad choices can produce terrible consequences. The Bible says that whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So predictably, after Adam and Eve succumbed to Satan, they and their descendants began to reap a harvest of violence and suffering. Though God created us with freedom of choice, he appeals to us to recognize that definitive knowledge of right and wrong is available only from him. Notice how plainly the scriptures explain the consequences of our choices and what God told ancient Israel during the time of Moses in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 19. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, go get one and follow along. God says in Deuteronomy, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. The Lord your God will bless you. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I, now this is God saying this, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God wants us to make good choices, but he doesn't force us to do so. The problem with most of us is that when we make bad choices, we seldom realize that they're bad. We typically view them as being the best choices for us at the time. But we don't consider the long-term consequences. By repeatedly making bad choices, we bring pain and suffering into our lives and to the lives of others. Because almost all of humanity has rejected God's counsel, most people continue to make poorly informed choices. Isaiah describes humanity's typical path in Isaiah 59, 8-10. He says, "The way of peace they have not known. There is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope through the wall like the blind. We grope as if we have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places." God is allowing us to learn from ourselves that many of our choices are at best very unwise, and that they can bring tremendous suffering. When we refuse to base our lives on God's revealed instructions, he lets us collectively suffer the consequences of our combined foolish choices. This is a primary reason that we live in a world filled with so much suffering. We also need to understand that this is not God's world, nor is God the author of the pain that you and I see around us every day. Other factors cause humanity suffering: human decisions, sin, and Satan's success in influencing and manipulating our self-centered choices. Now, back to our primary question. Why does God permit evil? Primarily, it is so mankind can learn one essential lesson. All of humanity must eventually learn beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's way of life is the only way that will really work. Jesus Christ concisely sums up this way when he teaches, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Ironically, all three of the world's great monotheistic religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, claim to accept these two divine commandments. But humanity as a whole has seldom followed them. The result is that we continue, and we will continue, to suffer. In fact, Jesus prophesied that the culminating result of our collective choices to go our own ways, to solve our problems apart from God's way of love, will be to find ourselves on the brink of total annihilation. Thankfully, the good news is that God has set a time when he will send Jesus back to this earth to make these lessons clear to human beings. God will bring this about. Then all peoples will be able to enjoy peace and safety, as well as freedom that is presently impossible. The booklet we're offering on today's program will help you explore the Bible to find answers and comfort to everyday suffering. To get your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Simply call this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. Now, if you would like to comment on today's program, and we may even read your comment on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. gnradio@ucg.org. And we do appreciate your feedback about the program. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, well, it's always up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
How do we make sense of suffering? How do we reconcile the reality of so much human suffering, anguish, and misery with the existence or fairness of a divine being who, according to the pages of the Bible, is all-loving and infinitely merciful? This quandary has plagued men and women for centuries. theologians, thinkers, and philosophers have puzzled over it for years. We've recently put together what may be one of our most important booklets, Why Does God Allow Suffering? It addresses all these questions head-on, right from the pages of your Bible. This crucial booklet reveals the source of so much human suffering and lets you see from the Bible how and when all suffering will eventually cease. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering? There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.